The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Game one is in the books, and I am crewed up. Good morning, everybody. Welcome into First Take. That is Tim Legler. Good to see you. It's been a minute. Stephen A. from the Bay Area, and Perk in his getup will join us in just a second.
You know, Tim Legler, it's good to see you. Molly, what the hell's going on? What you doing with your nightgown on for the morning First Take? What's going on? I'm just wondering. I mean, what's going on? I mean, it looks very nice in the whole bit, but I'm just saying silk and all of that. We rocking silk in the morning? That's how it looks?
This is
wondering. I mean, it looks
silky. Time out. You're already talking too much. This is, first of all, where is your blazer?
Right.
That's the first thing. Yeah. Okay, where is your blazer?
Well, I can explain.
Hold on, because you just talked for about 30 seconds straight. Second of all, I am in a blazer dress. This is not a nightgown.
Is that a blazer?
This is a blazer dress. When I stand up, you will see.
And all of this stuff.
No, it is a full blazer with buttons. Okay. You see the shoulders. Okay. This is not nightwear.
Okay.
Where's your jacket?
I'm just saying. Huh?
Where's your jacket? Because this is like game one. It was game one of the finals. I thought you'd dress up today.
It was wrinkled, and I couldn't come on the air.
Oh, come on.
Blazer.
So come on.
I just said, you know.
I'm you got to get the downy spray on. The spray on, man. It fixes the wrinkles.
It doesn't work. I'll get one of those blazers you're wearing, Molly. How about that? Let's go.
Don't hate. We know the Warriors like to turn it up in the third. Well, the Celtics matched that energy in the fourth and then some. The Celtics outscored the Warriors 40-16 in the fourth quarter to turn a 12-point deficit after three into a 12-point win. Boston's plus 24 scoring margin matched the largest in any quarter in finals history and was the best in any fourth quarter. Steph had 34-5-5 in the game one loss in the Bay, but you can't shake Steph Curry.
Not ideal, but believe in who we are, how we deal with adversity, how we responded all year, how we responded in the playoffs after a loss. So learn a lot from that fourth quarter. Obviously, they made a lot of shots. Seemed like, I mean, I think they didn't miss until deep into the fourth.
That's kind of who we've been all year, tough grinders, you know, a resilient group. That we can always know we can rely on our defense to kind of buckle down when needed. Impressive against a really elite scoring team.
They hit 21 threes, and Marcus Smart, Al Horford, and Derek White combined for 15 of them.
Okay, again, let me reiterate the numbers from the fourth quarter last night. It was as the Celtics outscored the Warriors by 24 points on their home floor. That included a 17-0 run at one point of the quarter. Only the 2003 Spurs had a bigger run in the finals game in the last 50 years. So, gentlemen, in his first finals game, Al Horford had a team-high 26 points. Today, he turns 36 years old. Okay, we got to pause. Okay. What is happening? Did you go to Alcatraz?
What the hell
like,
is that?
I don't even know what is happening.
Motley, I'm telling you, look, they reopened Alcatraz because they had to find room to put the Golden State Warriors in a place where they wouldn't be bothered. Because you know what happened last night? Bam! They got the handcuffs put on in the fourth quarter. 16 points in the fourth quarter. Motley, you don't even have to tee me up. I'm ready already. Listen, this is what happened. People got to talking about, you know, the Golden State Warriors and how much experience they had and all this. And I said, listen, the Celtics are going to win game one. And you know why the Celtics won game one? Because let me tell you what experience is. Experience is going against the defending champs, being down 3-2, having to go win a game six on the road and win a game seven at home to advance to the Eastern Conference Finals. Experience is losing the game six in the Eastern Conference Finals, winning the game seven on the road to advance to the finals. That's experience. Experience is being down by 15 points going into the fourth quarter or 10 double figures going into the fourth quarter in your first finals appearance and walking it down. Yes, Steph Curry had a beautiful first quarter, 21 points. I get all that. But at the end of the day, it comes down to this. Offense will win you games, but defense will win you championships. We can talk about the three-point shots that the Boston Celtics made last night in the fourth quarter, which was very necessary. The ball movement was beautiful, but they held the Golden State Warriors to 16 points. 16. Put these on them.
Stephen, hey, I don't know about you, but are you having a hard time concentrating on what he's saying? Because I am.
Yes.
I need to know. Is that a
onesie? That's exactly. I don't know if
it's. Is that a onesie?
It's like, what is that? It's like a cross between Mr. T and the A-Team, Martin Lawrence and Eddie Murphy in life. Whatever. You know, I mean, listen, my brother, you know what I'm saying? I'm just saying that it threw me off. I mean, you don't expect to just be that. To have that blasted on your screen at 10 in the morning. It threw me the hell off. But I'm here with you. Be you. You deserve it because, like you said, you got those handcuffs. It is apropos. I get where you're coming from. Kendrick Perkins, I'm not saying that you're wrong. I'm just going to focus on something else, bro. I'm going to focus on the fact that the Golden State Warriors can only make 7 shots in the fourth quarter. I'm going to focus on the fact that after 21 points and 6 threes in the first quarter, Steph Curry was held to 13 points. I'm going to focus on the fact that Klay Thompson had a relatively pedestrian game, and Jordan Poole was completely, utterly rattled. Everybody was up in his mug. It was Smart. It was Pritchard. It was Brown. Whoever it was, Jordan Poole could not do anything. Absolutely nothing. Now, obviously, those could all be attributed to Boston's defense. So I'm in no way trying to disagree with you. I'm just saying to you that my focus is on, it's like, damn. I went from looking at Golden State winning this series in 7 games to actually saying, I suspect they will, but how the hell are you going to win games in this series? How are you going to pull this off? You try to go into the interior. You got Robert Williams blocking shots. You sit up there and you try to key on Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. Al Horford hitting open jump shots. Derek White coming off the bench hitting shots. I'm just saying, we're talking about Boston's defense, sure. But let's understand that if Derek White, Tim Legler, and Al Horford, and Marcus Smart are going to shoot that way, Golden State doesn't have a chance. They don't have a chance. You can't have role players shooting like that and expect the Golden State Warriors to win. That's what I walked away thinking. It scared the living hell out of me.
Yeah, listen, Steve Kerr had some sound after the game. He said, basically, my first gut reaction is they played a hell of a fourth quarter. And I'm sitting there saying, no, they didn't play a hell of a fourth quarter. They played perfect basketball. Perfect basketball. You could go and look at every game played in the NBA this season. You would have a difficult time finding a better 12 minutes put together on both ends of the floor than what Boston did in the fourth quarter of that game. And it was, look, guys stepped up, made shots. I thought Golden State's offense got pushed further and further out. They did get away a little bit from what they do. There was no guard screen action. There was no cutters. Everything was pushed out on the perimeter. I think they started to sense, hey, man, they're scoring every time down the other end. I thought they tried to hit the home run a little bit too quickly. They didn't do the things they did in the first 3 quarters. Listen, you cannot take anything away from Boston. But what they did was win a road game. And this is their 8th road win, by the way, in the postseason, which is incredible.
8-2.
Incredible. They've won 8 road games already with 6 more games potentially to play in the finals. But here's the thing. I expected both teams to win a road game in this series, and which is why I ultimately picked the Warriors in 7. I think they're both going to win road games. And it just so happens Boston did it in game 1. And they turned it around in such a dramatic way, guys. I was sitting with my mouth open in the fourth quarter going, what exactly in the hell am I watching right now that this game turned that dramatically after Golden State completely established control in the third quarter? So a lot of things that Golden State can clean up. It's going to be a tough film session. If I'm Steve Kerr, I'm only watching the fourth quarter. That's all I want to watch. Let's watch this quarter, particularly defensively, and some of the mistakes they were making in not getting the shooters. Those are where the adjustments are going to have to come from Golden State, because Boston bombed them out in the fourth quarter, and that just can't happen, or Golden State can't win the series.
See, what I saw in this game was trust. What I saw was Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum have trust and the others. The Golden State Warriors did a great job of loading up on Jason Tatum last night. He had 13 assists. So you know what that's going to do for game two? Now all of a sudden in game two, everybody on the Golden State Warriors is now going to respect Al Horford. They're going to respect Derrick Wright, which is now going to open up driving lanes and driving gaps and give Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown those one-on-one isolations. Now, let me get to Jordan Poole for a second. Throughout this entire playoffs, Jordan Poole has been what? The third option to Klay Thompson and Steph Curry. Meaning, when he goes into ball games, he's primarily guarded by somebody that's not really considered a defender. See, when you're dealing with this Celtic team right here, this team that got this depth at the perimeter for its defensive prowess, you can't hide no more. So they have about six or seven guys that are capable of sliding their puppies on the Celtics. So Jordan Poole, I don't think this is just a game one, just him having a poor night. He is going to struggle throughout this entire series because of the depth that the Celtics have on the defensive side of things.
Kendrick Perkins, Tim Blakely, let me throw this at y'all, okay? Let me ask y'all this question. Because one of the things that I believe you cannot do against Boston, you can't dribble the ball too much. Jordan Poole is guilty of that. Mm-hmm. You are not going to be effective against the Boston Celtics trying to break them down off the dribble. It's not going to work. They're like piranhas. They'll come down on you. They'll suffocate on you. They'll swarm you, and they'll do it quickly. You got to catch and shoot. You got to have spacing. You got to distribute the basketball. You got to do those things. I thought with Jordan Poole, entirely too much dribbling. And one of the things Magic Johnson pointed out during the game, he came up with us at halftime. He was there for a few minutes. End of first quarter, Magic Johnson comes up on the set, fellas. He's sitting right next to me. He said, Stephen A., look at Golden State. I said, what? He said, all five guys have their hands on their hips. They're tired. They're tired after the first quarter. He said, Boston's going to get up in you. They know they're bigger. They know they're more physical. And they're going to dare you to withstand that. He said, you combat that, you've got to be selfless. You've got to move the basketball because the more you dribble, the more energy you're expending, and that's playing right into their hands. And sure enough, that's exactly what the Golden State Warriors did, especially a Jordan Poole. And I'm looking at, listen, my belief is Golden State's chance to win this series, and why I picked them to win this series, is because of Steph, Klay, and Jordan Poole. And I said, two of the three have to get off. All three of them didn't get off after the first quarter. You got no chance of beating Boston if that happens, in my opinion.
And I think for me, what you said early on, Stephen A., you were 100% right. At no point in that game did Jordan Poole look comfortable. He didn't look comfortable. And so he's gonna now have 2 days of film sessions, another walkthrough before game two. He's going to look at that film. He's not going to recognize who he was. And I know the Celtics defense had a lot to do with it, but mindset also does. He did not come into that game with an aggressive mindset. No, I don't know if part of it was because Steph got rolling to such an extent early. It was almost like a deferential mode, you know, like, okay, it's Steph's night. No, man, that's not who you are. You had a splash this year in this league. You established yourself as a player, and he looked tentative. He looked timid.
But Tim,
he didn't
Tim,
look like
on.
He was thinking about scoring.
Tim,
and it was an afterthought,
Tim,
and that's not who he is. Yeah.
To both of y'all, Tim, I haven't seen Jordan Poole look like Jordan Poole since the Denver series. Floor is y'all's.
Yeah, look, you're right. He hasn't been as good as he was in the regular season. I agree. I think there's been moments since then. He's had moments and spurts in games. Hasn't put it together to the extent that he did in the regular season. But last night,
Denver,
he was relegated to just another dude. And this is a guy, I'm with you. The reason I picked the Warriors, because I said they ultimately, despite the great defense of the Celtics, they have too many weapons. They have too many answers for what you're going to throw at them. And if Jordan Poole is going to play like that and Klay Thompson is going to struggle to that extent, no, I'm dead wrong. Boston's defense is going to win this series. So I just expect a bounce back from both of those guys to supplement what Steph Curry is going to give you, and they just didn't do it last night.
Go ahead, KP.
Yeah, but how can you expect a bounce back when the personnel is not changing? Okay, you put the defensive player of the year, Marcus Smart, on Steph Curry. And then all of a sudden, you still have Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum to guard a Jordan Poole and a Klay Thompson. Both of these guys are battle-tested. Again, they went through Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant, two of the most skilled guys to ever play the game of basketball. And then all of a sudden, they was tested by Giannis Antetokounmpo. Then all of a sudden, we saw what they had to go against for us in the Miami Heat series. But I'm looking at it, and I'm like, the personnel is not changing for game two. So at the end of the day, he's still going to have to line it up with those same guys he's seen in game one. They are not going anywhere. Well, and then if you want to take them out the game, we saw what Al Horford and Grant Williams is capable of doing. They tried to go at Peyton Pritchard. He may be the smallest guy on the floor, but because of the presence that the Boston Celtics have established, he follows their identity. He's not backing down from you. I don't see it happening.
Y'all can call me crazy, and I'll end the segment by saying this, Tim and KP. You got to guard them straight up. When Jaylen Brown can do what he did to start off the fourth quarter, mm-hmm. when they can start off the fourth quarter hitting seven straight threes, when they're coming at you like that, guess what? Boston's sending a message, you can't leave any of us open. So now what you have to do is force them to make contested shots and risk them giving it to you by getting into the lane and scoring that way. Because that's better than them bombing open threes all over the place that they have proven they can make. They were down 14 in the third quarter and were up 14 in the fourth quarter. We could talk the 2017-0 run, but at the end of the day, there was a 28-point turnaround inside of 12 minutes. We can't ignore that. Golden State, they better win game two. They better win game two.
Yeah, and it was certainly surprising who got hot in the fourth. All right, so with the game one stunner, the Celtics are now favored to win a record 18th NBA title. The winner of game one has gone on to win the series 71% of the time. Boston has won 13 titles after winning game one, while the Warriors had won 13 straight game ones at home under Steve Kerr before the loss last night. So now that we've seen these teams face off, should the Celtics be favored now, Legs?
No question they should be favored now. I mean, there's no doubt. Listen, they went in, they stole game one. They've got home court now. And I thought this was a coin flip series going in. I gave the advantage of Golden State, who was undefeated at home in the postseason, getting it back to their floor for a game seven. That's ultimately why I picked them. But for me, it was that close. The margin is razor thin here. So now that you've stolen the game in this fashion, this dominant in the fourth quarter, yeah, you'd be foolish not to think now that the Boston Celtics are the favorites. All I'm going to say is Golden State is not a team that's going to go away. And I hear what you're saying about matchups and the personnel's not changing. But what can change, clearly, is you can clean up. Listen, there was half a dozen times in the fourth quarter they overreacted to penetration. They overreacted to Brown and Tatum, and they had too many guys flooding to the lane with too great a distance to get back to the three-point line. That is correctable. Offensively, they can go look at the third quarter. They can look at the start of the game. They can say, listen, look at the ball movement, the player movement, the guard screening action, the cuts, the slips, making Boston chase and communicate. How many mistakes did Boston make in the first quarter just in communication because of the way Golden State was moving, the ball screens, the guard screening action? That disappeared in the fourth quarter. So there are things Golden State is going to address, and I think they're too good a team to go down 2-0 losing the first two at home. I think they win game two. And now look, the burden is on them. Can you go win a road game in Boston? That's what it's going to come down to. And if they can, then all of a sudden Golden State will be the favorite again. But for now, absolutely, Boston should be favored from this point on because they did what they had to do. They stole the first game.
Okay. Go ahead, Kim.
Legs, this is why I disagree with you, Ed, right? I understand the movement of the offense in the first quarter, but I also understand the nerves and being nervous coming out into the NBA Finals. The Boston Celtics had a lot of brain farts that we usually don't see, like Steph Curry, guys sagging back in the pick and roll, not being up, knowing that they probably went over there and shoot around, things to that nature. And what happened? They adjusted in the second quarter, and Steph Curry had 0 points. See, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. And what we're forgetting is that going into halftime, the Boston Celtics were up 2 points after being down double figures in the first half. Then all of a sudden, Golden State came and made a run in the third quarter, and the Boston Celtics walked it back down again in the time that it mattered the most in the fourth quarter. The Boston Celtics just have this tendency, and they have this identity that they could go on runs by getting stops. They're getting stops. And so when I look at the ball movement, right, when I look at guys knocking down shots, I mean, they were wide open shots. They were passing up good shots to get great shots. And with that being said, I think the Celtics have another level to take. Jason Tatum didn't shoot the ball extremely well. I could count three times at least he was at the top of the key with his feet set for wide open threes, and he just didn't hit them. It was one point where he airballed the three-point shot in the first quarter. He wasn't the best version of himself. What I'm saying is, just like we think the Golden State Warriors could give more, the Celtics can too. And one more point, Stephen A., and I'm done. Draymond Green is going to have to score the ball against the Boston Celtics. He was 2-for-12 last night. They're going to make the adjustment and dare him to beat them. He's gonna have to have one of those remember the time moments where he scored 20 points in a game in order for them to win this series. I guarantee you.
Well, let me talk to you, Escape from Alcatraz. Let me talk to you for a second here on a couple of matters. Number one, I don't disagree. I don't disagree with anything that you said. And Tim Legler was making some points. So let's just answer the question directly. You damn right, Boston should be the favorite right now after that performance last night and the kind of hole that they put Golden State in. Let me get direct in what I'm about to say. The Boston Celtics cannot win game two, and we expect the Golden State Warriors to win this series. They can't win game two. If the Golden State Warriors go down 0-2, they're not beating the Boston Celtics for the next five games. I think it's safe for us all to assume that. That's just too much to ask against a team as elite as they are defensively. I just don't expect that kind of breakdown from the Boston Celtics. Number three, I will say this to you, KP. When we highlight what all the things that you just articulated about how Boston could step up their game, here's where I respectfully disagree. I don't believe all of those dudes would get the opportunity to do what they did if Jason Tatum was on. I think there's an exchange that took place. Because Jason Tatum wasn't on, he became a distributor, which is why he had the 13 assists. Those dudes were making shots. Remember, he took 17 shots. Jason Tatum's good for 25 shots when he's rolling, as he should be, because he's the superstar for that team. So it's not that I'm not saying that those guys wouldn't be effective. I'm simply saying if Jason Tatum is making shots, he's passing the ball less. There's less opportunities for them to do what they did. It's just that it would be him doing it instead of them. If it's not him, it's them. If it's not them, it's him. But Jaylen Brown has shown up as well, and they got two stars that you got to contend with. It's just that simple. In the end, your last point about Draymond Green, we got to bring this up about Draymond Green. All-world defensive player, orchestrator, your point forward, distributor of the basketball, basketball savant. Could you imagine how lethal the Golden State Warriors would be if Draymond Green was a reliable perimeter shooter? Think about that, because you couldn't leave him open. And then that would open the floodgates. Well, yeah, years ago, he would have been the MVP of the finals that they lost to Cleveland the way he played in that game seven. Remember that? He got suspended for game five, came back in game six. They lost to Cleveland. Game seven, he played lights out, was absolutely spectacular. And I believe in Dre that when you put the pressure on him and you point to him and you say, it's you. If you don't do this, they gonna lose. I think that he'll make sure he does his job. But he has to, because Boston is daring him to do so. I also think Gary Payton Jr., what the hell you got him activated for the game and not play him? The big boy that they got coming off the bench, I always forget how to pronounce his name. But, you know, this brother here can hit some points. He can hit some threes. You need size, but you need an offensive threat that's playing your four, your five, because Boston's going to key on the guards. If you Steve Kerr, you got to take these kind of chances. And also, you got to play a defender like Kuminga, because his athleticism and his length might help you on the defensive end of the floor as well. I think that there's a lot that Steve Kerr could do, but they got to do it, man, because Boston is no joke.
They better respect the others. That's what they better do. They better respect the others. They better respect Big Al Horford like he didn't outplay Giannis in that game four on the road in Milwaukee when
twice.
He went for 26
twice.
Or 28 points. Yeah, in the fourth quarter. See, here's the thing. The thing that I recognize about Jason Tatum, I believe it was game four of the Eastern Conference Finals. I believe he had about 25 points, 11 rebounds, and 9 assists. He shot the ball 21 times in that game. See, Jason Tatum, Stephen A., and Legs, he's growing right before our very eyes. See, just because they call your play doesn't mean it's your shot. And he's starting to get that. He's starting to make guys around him better. The great Kevin Garnett used to tell me, hey, man, when you see a franchise guy, watch him and see if he's able to get his 20 or 30 and get people around him 10 to 15 points. That's what we're seeing out of Jason Tatum. This is why we see this team being so lethal. Let's not act like we didn't see Grant Williams in a crucial game 7 light it up against the Milwaukee Bucks at the crib. Listen, I'm telling y'all, man, this Boston Celtics team is real. Coach Ime Udoka holds these guys accountable. He has put together a hell of a game plan. He has his rotations down. He rolled with his bench in that fourth quarter last night. Peyton Pritchard played 8 minutes in the fourth quarter. You talk about trust. Game one of the finals, he played 8 minutes in the fourth. Hey, look, I'm telling you, we don't talk about Ime Udoka enough and the phenomenal job he's been doing
we do.
In this postseason for his adjustments and rotation.
He's coach of the year candidate to me. We've talked about him enough.
To that point, what Perk just said, were you surprised by who stepped up for Boston?
No, I wasn't surprised by who it was. I was surprised by the extent. I mean, look, Derek White has been great for them and throughout the postseason. Al Horford's been fantastic. He's turned back the clock. This might be the best I've seen Al Horford play offensively in his career. So I'm not surprised that they had moments. But to get hit with that kind of a barrage by the role players, spotting up, knocking down those kinds of shots on this stage in this moment, to that extent, yes, it was shocking. I was sitting in the fourth quarter. I mean, my mouth was open. Like, what am I watching right now? That simultaneously, not only is Boston unstoppable on offense, but on the other end, Golden State is being completely taken out of everything they like to do. So, yes, I was absolutely surprised, especially the way Golden State played in the third quarter. They established control, which they typically do in the third quarter. Going into the fourth, man, they looked like they were in total control. And here's the thing. They're also an elite defensive team, and I'm thinking you get a double-digit lead, even if your offense bogs down. Your defense should be able to keep you at least in the moment so that then your offense can win it if it's a one-possession game late. Their defense was being gutted at the exact same time that they couldn't get anything going on the other end of the floor. There's no other word to describe it. It was dominance on the part of the Boston Celtics, and you've got to give all of those dudes credit because they were ready when the ball came to let it fly and knock it down, and they fed off each other. You could just see the confidence building, and I got news for you. When Boston left the arena last night to go back to the hotel, I guarantee you they're looking at each other's eyes. You know what they're saying to themselves? Those dudes can't beat us. That's what Boston was telling themselves when they left there last night, doing what they did in the fourth quarter.
I can tell you exactly what they were saying because I was right near them when they were walking off the court. One down, three to go. One down, three to go. And three more. Three more. That's what they were saying.
Hey, Perk, you got a tour to give, don't you? Aren't you the tour guy?
No, Perk, I got one question for you
reopened it. It's not a museum no more.
Okay. Yeah. Perk, yes or no question. Is that a onesie? Like, does that go all the way to the feet?
No, Molly, it's not a onesie.
Oh, it's just a top.
It's not a onesie.
It's just a zip-up top.
You know they don't make onesies in 5X. You know that.
I appreciate the uniqueness. Kendrick Perkins just promised me one thing. You will never show up on national TV with that again. That's all I ask. That's all I ask.
Hey, don't tell Perk I'm so secure in myself. I'm so secure in myself.
He's just getting started. All right, we'll leave it there.
That I believe is the greatest player to have ever played, Michael Jordan, is responsible
as much as anybody for changing the game for the worse when you consider you. Stay with me on this. Okay. This is throwing no shade on Michael Jordan, of course. He's the greatest ever in my estimation, number one, all right? But he was so phenomenal that the NBA marketed the individual, the audience gravitated towards the individual, and the game became a bit more individualized because people wanted to be like Mike.
Okay, so that was Stephen A. this past Wednesday. Yesterday, Kevin Durant had something to say about it, tweeting this. My theory is guys like Steve, Skip, Shannon have changed the game for the worse. Players like Stephen and Michael can only push the game forward. Kendrick Perkins still here with us. Stephen A., obviously, I'll come to you first. The floor is yours, sir.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
Go ahead, Kendrick. Oh, you're talking about me, Molly?
Yeah, I wanted you to start. Just because he called you out specifically, your name.
Let me say this, guys. Good Lord have mercy. When will they learn, Kendrick Perkins? When will they learn? You know, I don't really want to bring his name up, but I really have no use for him. But months ago and weeks ago, you had a guy like Stephon Marbury. Goes on video, social media, not eating Vaseline this time. He just has something to say. And he sat up there and said, I should be defunded. I shouldn't be allowed from talking back. I should be defunded. I shouldn't be allowed to talk basketball. What he left out was that he was the executive producer of the docuseries, A Kid from Coney Island, which was about his life. And who did they call to talk to? That would be me. But I'm the same dude that shouldn't be allowed to talk basketball, except for when you wanted to promote your docuseries and then you want me to talk basketball. Kevin Durant comes out, and obviously there's no comparison between the two, but Kevin Durant comes out and he sits up there and says, people like me make the game worse. Well, Kevin Durant and his company executive produces this new docuseries coming out, New York City Point Guards. Who they call? That would be me. So just from a fact-based purpose, it's amazing that no one cares about what I have to say, but they call me to say something. I find that to be a bit inconsistent, dare I say, Kendrick Perkins, Molly. I find that to be a bit inconsistent, but that's neither here nor there. I'm going to be very respectful because I happen to love Kevin Durant. I think he's the best player on the planet when healthy. And I actually think he's a very good guy. Bit truculent with his attitude and always got attitude about somebody. I mean, you know, it's just unnecessary sometimes. But I still got love for him. There's nothing he can really say to me that's going to make me attack him or whatever. I think he's a phenomenal basketball player, a future Hall of Famer, a champion, a two-time NBA Finals MVP. And I'm always have love for him no matter what. The only reason I feel the need to address this comment, Kendrick Perkins, is because where did it come from? When I reached out to Kendrick, to KD, he didn't want to answer that question, and that's his prerogative. And what he and I exchanged between each other is our business. But I will tell you this. All I said was that Michael Jordan was so phenomenal that people focused on marketing and promoting the individual as opposed to team. And that didn't necessarily help the game of basketball to a certain degree because on many, many occasions we've lamented the absence of team basketball. That's all I was trying to say. Nothing more. I don't understand where it came from, but I will tell you this. Fellas need to get over it. Because as I said yesterday on Twitter, and I'll say again on national television, the Stephen A. Smiths of the world are not going anywhere. I'm here now. There'll be hundreds, if not thousands, that will follow. These guys don't want to talk. They don't want to be accountable. Who the hell are we to tell them anything? So watch the game shut the hell up and enjoy their greatness and make sure they get paid their money without giving any commentary whatsoever. You want to control the narrative all the damn time. You're not doing it. You don't get to get rid of us. We here, we're going to be here. Get over it. Because we're not going anywhere. I'm not talking about me specifically as an individual. I'm talking about the collective me. Me, Kendrick Perkins, Ryan Clark, Swag Goo, Orlovsky, and everybody else in between, and Tim Legland, J.J. Redick, and all of these other guys. We're not going anywhere. And the last point, Kendrick Perkins, before I give it to you. I've repeatedly said this to players because I got many, many cats in the NBA, NFL, and beyond the world of professional sports that I'm very, very cool with. I got them on speed dial. They got me on speed dial. We talk all the time. They know I'm not talking about them. But for those like Kevin Durant or Kyrie or somebody else that don't want to talk, please remember something. I get paid to talk about you. I don't get paid to talk to you. I don't ever have to speak to any of y'all again in life, and I still get to do my job. Look at what I see and comment about it. That's what I get to do. Remember that when in reality you actually do, because when you've had projects you wanted to push forward, you called me to participate. It wasn't the other way around. I'm going to leave it at that, Kendrick Perkins. Floor is yours.
You know what's crazy to me is this. The crazy part about it is that they pick what they want to attack you with, or they pick on how they want to address you. Forget the 100 times you done praised a certain individual. You know what I mean? Like, it's a couple situations with me, as far as even my good brother Russell Westbrook. I have been standing up for Russell Westbrook since I got into television. I criticized him a few times this season, which was warranted, and all of a sudden I turned my back on him. Or, you know, even with Kevin Durant, you talk about him, we talk about him being one of the greatest scorers of all time, and then the one time you criticize him or the one time you say something that he don't like, he come at you. But so you didn't even criticize him. But let me tell you what's going on right now, okay? They have this new little wave of things that's going on that, quote unquote, you have to get the basketball player approval in order to be able to speak the game of basketball. Well, who the hell are you to tell me what I can and cannot say, or who the hell are them to tell Stephen A. what the hell he cannot say or what he can say? See, that's the problem that we have. You do not have to play the game of basketball or played it at the highest level to be able to talk the game of basketball. If you're a student of the game, you are a student of the game. I know a lot of guys that are in front office roles right now that are head GMs in the NBA that didn't play the game of basketball, but they are allowed to evaluate talent. And some of those guys, most of those guys, are very damn good at their damn job. Who are us to judge them? Who are us to say, how did you get this role when you never touched the basketball in your life? No, that's not how it goes. So at the end of the day, listen, I wouldn't dig too deep into it. Stephen A., I know you got tough skin. You ain't worried about it. But look, this is who KD is, okay? He come and he goes. He talked to me in you know, 2 months or 3 months straight, and then he put me on the block list, and I block his ass right back because I don't give a damn. Because what I came to realize is this. I got five people that I got to approve, right, that I got to make sure is good. That's my wife and four children. Everybody else, well, I don't give a damn how they feel about Big Perk, and you shouldn't either. So, carry on.
Well, you know me. You know me. That, listen, I'm going to answer what needs to be answered, and I'm going to leave it at that. But like I said, I got love for KD. I think that KD is a great player, and I think that he's a great person. He don't get in no trouble. He don't engage in no nonsense. He's all about hooping and all that stuff. A little bit sensitive at times, whatever. Mm-hmm. You know how I feel about his mama. I love me some Mama Durant. So, I mean, I'm not going to disrespect this brother. I'm not going to disrespect this brother. But at the end of the day, it just amazes me the height and level of sensitivity. And the reason why I think it's incredibly important to point this out, you know, I don't give a damn whether I speak to folks or not. They act like, you know what, if you don't talk to us, you're hurting your feelings. You know the stupidity of some, not most, not all, but you know the stupidity of some of these modern athletes, and they don't realize this? The fact that you don't talk to us and the fact that you speak on social media actually makes our job easier because we're going to have content to discuss no matter what. You don't get to circumvent and get around folks talking about particular subjects. Apparently, it's the level of intellect that they have that never registers in their mind. If you perform, we get to talk about you. If you talk, we get to talk about you. What's up?
Stop, Stephen A. The game is to be sold, not told. Don't give up too much.
I'm just saying. The point that I'm making is that I feel you. It is what it is. But I want to make sure that everybody understands the brothers, the sisters, the professional athletes, the college athletes, all of that stuff. I'm going to support you and call it like I see it. But please be clear. We don't exchange Christmas gifts. We don't have Thanksgiving dinner together. I could give less than a damn if those who don't want to talk to me never, ever talk to me in life. I assure you, I will not lose 1 second of sleep over it. And I'm going to still come on the air and do my job. And that's talk about your performance, your legacy, your reputation as it pertains to the game. I ain't interested in your personal life. Mm-hmm. As long as you ain't in the police blotters, it's none of my business, okay? But I am going to do my damn job. And if you walk right by me, if you don't even whisper at me, I could assure you, I will give less than a damn.
be clear about that.
No, we know you have thick skin. Can I just say something really quickly, guys, before we go to break? How sure. I took it when I saw those tweets and stuff, obviously no one really thinks we're being facetious when we're asking the question, and it was a specific angle that the game's worse because of Michael Jordan, his airness, or Steph Curry. All right, so no one's serious. It wasn't like a literal question in that sense. But I thought, and I don't know KD. I've never met KD. You guys obviously would know. I just thought he was joking. I didn't think that was serious. I thought he was just kind of joking.
He wasn't joking. He wasn't joking, especially.
I thought he was just having fun with it.
When you're attached to certain people in your life that tend to look down on others, you understand? Eventually, that has a contagious effect, and you'll start looking down on others because you're this multi-million. I mean, we talk about LeBron approaching $1 billion. Let me tell you something. KD far from broke. This brother has established and accomplished great, great things in his life, and he's living up here. And he ain't the type of person that looks down on people. That's not his nature. But in the same breath, he is around some people who do. And you never know what kind of effect that could have on you in the moment. I don't know. But the point is, I don't care. The only reason I address the subject on this show, Molly, is for one reason. And you need to know this, Molly. Not that you don't know it, but I'm going to reiterate this in front of you. I know people don't like to hear this. Let me brag about us for a second. We've been number one for 10 years straight. We're number one right now. And as far as I'm concerned, we gonna stay number one so long as I'm here. Just like you can't take away his two championships and his two MVPs, you can't take away the fact that First Take is the standard morning show in the United States of America. By the way, they air us in other parts of this world. By the way, they got a First Take in China where they're airing me out there in China. You better ask somebody. We ain't going no damn place, whether you like it or not. You don't get to get around First Take, baby. We here. We here, and I ain't a Knick. I ain't talking about the Knicks. I'm talking about First Take. Yeah. We here. Get the hell over it.
On that note, you know what I want to say to everybody?
Carry on.
Thank you, everybody, for watching. Thank you for watching.